This morning we return to John 14, the section where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to bring out another aspect of what's going on in this passage. I'll read the context again, verses 1 to 11. And today, Lord willing, we'll learn something a little bit more about what Jesus is saying when he says that he is the way, truth, and the life. So I'm going to read John 14, beginning at verse 1 and going down to verse 11. Again, the very word of the living God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So this is a reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word, and our prayer is that he would write it upon our hearts so that it might take root and bear fruit in our lives. Let's go before the Lord once again in prayer as we consider his word this morning. Our Father, we ask your blessing now as we come before your word. As always, we ask that you would fulfill your promise, that your word goes out and does not return to you void, that it accomplishes everything that you have purposed for it. May that be true this morning. For us, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that our eyes and our ears might be open to what you have for us to see and hear this morning. Make your word, we ask, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, that we might indeed walk according to its ways. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. All right, well, last week, what I wanted to focus on as we looked at this statement from Jesus in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What I wanted to focus on last week was the context. And you get that context very powerfully in the very first verse. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is speaking a word of comfort, of confidence, of encouragement to his people when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we saw this in the context. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because there's room for you in my Father's house. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because I will prepare the way for you. In fact, that means I'm going to die for you so that you are able to enter my Father's house. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because I'm going to come back and take you to myself. The great gift, the great present of Jesus is himself. Our great desire should be to be with him. And that should give us comfort that this is true, that this is going to happen. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you've seen my works, you've seen the works of my Father. Do not let your hearts be troubled, because I am the way and the truth and the life. The personal highway of holiness. So wonderful that even fools cannot go astray. My flesh, the living way, the living curtain that takes us to God. I am the truth, the Word, God made flesh. I am the life, the resurrection and the life. The bread of life from heaven comes so that you might have life and have it abundantly. Do not let your hearts be troubled for all of these reasons. So these are indeed words of comfort. But the other thing that I want us to see this morning is how exclusive those words are. How exclusive that claim is. Because the other thing that Jesus says in verse 6 is this. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to come to the Father? You come through Jesus. He's making very exclusive statements, not just here, but really, if we review all these I am statements, they're all very exclusive. I am, that's repetition in Greek, ego, eimi, I, for emphasis. I am the one. So before Abraham was, I am, says Jesus. And he's saying, I, Jesus, am God. And no one else is. I'm the resurrection and the life, we looked at. Jesus is saying, I am. And no one else is. I am the light of the world. I, Jesus says, am the light of the world. And no one else is. I am the bread of life. I am. And no one else is. I'm the true vine. I am. And no one else is. I am the door, he says. I am. Jesus. And no one else is. I am the good shepherd. I am. I am, says Jesus. And no one else is the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, says Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one else is. And then he adds that wonderful statement that no one comes to the Father except through me. And you know, when it comes right down to it, if we're going to talk about the fullness of salvation, we have to go back to where we started. Saved from what? Right? The wrath of God. The wrath of the Father for sin in human beings. In each and every one of us. The heart of salvation, the goal of salvation, if you will, is that reconciliation with the Father, that we would be right with Him again, that He would find us acceptable in His sight, that we would be truly reconciled with our God. So what Jesus is saying here in verse 6 of chapter 14, I am the way to the Father. No one gets to the Father except through me. I am the way, and no one else is. And I want to consider this claim by Jesus in light of other ways that people try to achieve reconciliation with the Father. And just run through them this morning and consider them one by one. I tried to summarize it. Hopefully I covered just about everything. So we'll consider them in turn. Various false ways that people try to achieve reconciliation with the Father. A brief note that I do think this has really been the goal of man since the beginning, since the fall. In the garden before the fall, we read that Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the garden. They talked with God. He was with them. They lost that in the fall. They were driven out of the garden. An angel with a flaming sword protected that garden so that they could not get back in. So mankind bands together and builds the Tower of Babel as if in some way they might reach their way to heaven. Partly because they're trying to be gods, same sin as Adam and Eve, but partly because they're trying to reach that place to get back to where they used to be. We get a little glimpse of something like reconciliation with the Father in this wonderful scene in Exodus 24. Moses and the leaders of the people of Israel and the 70 elders up on the mountain, they saw God. They beheld God. But it was just a glimpse, just a one-time brief thing. Even Moses was surrounded by a cloud. And after that, only the high priest could go into the most holy place, and that only once a year, where the presence of God was said to dwell. Over time, the Israelites began looking at their keeping of the covenant commands and stipulations. This is the way we get back into a right relationship with God. He told us, I am your God, you are my people. Keep my commandments. Keep them, I will bless you. Break them, and I will curse you. And so that takes us to the first false way of trying to get to the Father. And that's through Old Testament law keeping. The Old Testament rituals, the Old Testament sacrifices. People still try that today. Look around the world. You've seen them. Every Labor Day weekend, or slightly before or behind, the Channel 13 has the telethon for the Orthodox Jews to raise money. These are people who are very, very scrupulous about observing all the laws of God. They dress a certain way. They act a certain way. They speak a certain way. The most Orthodox Jew in Los Angeles or Brooklyn, New York, or somewhere in Russia, or even in Israel, scrupulously keeping every single law of God, fails because they can't keep it perfectly. Because in the end, the law kills. That's what we saw in the New Testament reading. The law kills. It's the Spirit that gives life. And the Spirit and the Lord are one, says Paul. Therefore, it is Jesus who gives life. It's Jesus and Jesus alone who makes the way to the Father. He's the only one who kept the law. Indeed, he fulfilled the law and gave us a new covenant and a new and better way through his new and better sacrifice. So as much as we might love the law, and we should, it's a reflection of God's holiness. As much as we might see moral rules and ethics there for how we should live our life, that will not reconcile us to God. It cannot. It can only kill. So we need the whole Bible. We need the New Testament and what it teaches us about Jesus. And some people will say, okay, that's fine. I know I can't be a Jew, but if I'm going to take the whole Bible, there's certain parts I don't like. I'm going to pick and choose. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Since we got the New Testament, the early church figure Marcion, who decided to make up his own New Testament and pick and choose certain books and certain passages because he didn't like what some of them taught. Thomas Jefferson, who cut sections out of his Bible because he didn't like what they said. Or the modern Jesus Seminar, who voted on which sayings of Jesus were real ones and which ones weren't. Sure, I'll take the whole Bible. But come on. Not all of it is true. And so they pick and choose what they like. This is the Frank Sinatra approach to the Bible. My way. I hate that song. Frank Sinatra is a great singer, but that's a horrible song. I did it my way. Such arrogance. That's what these people are doing with Scripture. My way. Take what I want, pick and choose. And in reality, that's the way of death. We can't pick and choose what we believe to accept, what truths are true. Jesus is the truth. I am the truth, he says. And therefore, he's the only way to get to the Father. So then you have another group that says, okay, I can't pick and choose what I want. I can't cut out certain parts. I'll take the whole thing. But you know, that part doesn't mean what you think it means. And that part over there, you've been reading that wrong. You got to reinterpret this stuff. Redefine it. This also has been going on for 2,000 years in the history of the church. Kind of reached its pinnacle in the 19th century in Europe with these German liberal scholars who started redefining and reinterpreting what different parts of the Bible mean. Those aren't really miracles. Come on, we're rational, scientific people. Miracles don't happen today. That can't, come on. That must be something else. A story, a dream, a hope. There's no miracles. It goes against science and it goes against logic. Let's reason our way about what's going on in here. Resurrection, people don't rise from the dead. Come on. What that really is the disciples' hope. They were despondent, despaired after Jesus died, and they found a way to rally around the teaching of Jesus and the hope of Jesus and the hope of God. And in that way, Jesus figuratively rose to new life in their own thoughts and in their own hearts. What a beautiful thing, they will say to you. I will say to you, that's the way of death. Maybe Jesus is just a great example, another moral teacher. This is the approach of those who think they're smarter than you and me. This is arrogance, and it can never work. They try to avoid the Jesus of Scripture. They bend and twist the truth. And so Jesus, the truth, bars their way. They want to come to the Father. They have to come through Jesus and what He says. The resurrected Jesus. The Jesus who worked miracles. The Jesus who spoke. Well, okay, I can't be intellectually superior. How about if I can be spiritually superior to you all? I mean, come on. Christians in America? Bunch of losers. Bunch of hypocrites. Let me offer you a better way. Sure, the Bible is God's Word, but you know there's more. There's other words out there that God has spoken. This again goes back to the early church, the Gnostics. Look what we found, Gospel of Thomas. Here's another one, Gospel of Peter. And on and on and on, with teachings that completely contradict the rest of the New Testament revelation. It's the approach of Islam. Jesus is a good prophet, but we have a better prophet. We're more spiritual than you Christians are. Muhammad, he's the one who brought the final revelation from God. It's the approach of so many cults. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Christian Scientists, the Mormons. We've got more, new, better revelation. The Bible's okay, but there's a deeper, better spiritual path to God. It's the approach of the New Age movement. Find God on a mountain. Find God in a stream. Find God in drugs. Find God in New Age sexuality and spirituality. But again, this is just another way of having it your own way, because you can fit these things to be anything you want. Mormonism doesn't work to you? Be a Muslim. That's a little too harsh for you? Be a Jehovah's Witness. That's a little too weird for you? Go try something else. New Age, you can be anything. Self-centered, selfish, arrogant. It's the way of death. Jesus says in response to this, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so the last real attempt that people can make, if they can't work one of these, is to come up with a completely substitute way altogether. Different religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever it might be. That's a better path. A better word, a better truth to some idea of peace or reconciliation or unity with the world or resurrection or revival or whatever it might be. It's in agnostics. These are people who want to have it both ways. Well, it might be true, it might not be true. I'm okay. Peace through doubt. Doubt never works to bring peace. You can't have peace with God by doubting He exists. Imagine that if you tried it in your regular life. I'm not really sure my wife exists. And if I keep that attitude, we'll have peace. I'm not really sure my boss is there in the office across the way. I'll just doubt him and he won't bug me anymore. We think about it in human terms and it's absurd. How much more absurd with the God of the universe? I'm not sure there's a God up there. I'll keep him at a distance. That'll give me peace. It doesn't work. The atheists, you know what they're really saying is, I don't care about peace with God. I want peace now. All my happiness, all my reconciliation, all my whatever, I'm taking it now. Whatever way I choose, however I choose. All these are just substitutes for what Jesus offers. Ways to get around it, ways to avoid it. And in response, Jesus says again, I am the way, the only way. There is no other way. There aren't multiple paths up the mountain. But there is no mountain. There's one way. The straight and narrow way. Through Jesus Christ. I am the truth. You can't redefine truth. You can't pick and choose what truth you want. You can't ignore the truth. You can't make up your own truth. I am the truth. And if you want to see the Father, if you want reconciliation with the Father, believe my truth. Accept my truth. Submit to my truth. You want life? It doesn't come in reincarnation. It doesn't come in some melding with the broader universe. It doesn't come in karma. You want life? I am life. Come to me. Find life, an abundant life, through me. There's only one way to get to the Father. Through me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you've seen my works, you've seen the works of the Father. There is no other peace. There's no other reconciliation. There's no other life than through me with the Father. I am the way to the Father and no one else is. Well, why spend time on this? Why does it really matter? Well, first, as ambassadors of Christ, we got to be willing to make the same bold claim. There's a growing number of evangelical Christians in America and around the world who are willing to look at Mormons and go, yeah, they're Christians. Sorry, they're not. Jehovah's Witnesses, yeah, they're a little fruity, a little weird, but, you know, they believe in Jesus. Take half your TV preachers at least. They love Jesus, but they're not teaching the gospel. They're not teaching the truth of the Bible. It's okay, they say they love Jesus. They must be Christians too. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. What I say, what's in this word, is the only truth. And if it conflicts with this, you're out. That's a harsh statement. That's a harsh judgment for people to hear in this world we live in where live and let live. Everything's okay. Your truth is okay. Don't offend anybody. Tolerate other things. Christianity is a loving religion. We are to love our neighbors. But we do not tolerate substitutes for Christ. We can't. He is the only way. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So it matters for our own witness and testimony to those around us. But you know, quite frankly, it matters for you and me too. We're sheep. We're sheep who love to go astray. And the thing that always brings us back, the thing that won't let us stray from that way of holiness, is Christ. We have to keep coming back to Christ, who He is, His testimony, His work for us. Remind our own selves so that we don't go astray. Because it's so tempting to look for other ways. Walk into a bookstore. There aren't many left. But walk into a bookstore and go up and down the aisles. And I will tell you, on virtually every aisle are a number of those nice little yellow books. Subject for dummies. Accounting for dummies. The Bible for dummies. Travel for dummies. Whatever you can think of. art for dummies, computers for dummies. Clever title, but they're written for people who are looking for solutions. And they're even in the religion section. The Bible for dummies, Christianity for dummies. You don't need that. You have this. It's readable. It's understandable. But we do that because we're sheep. There's all these shiny ideas out there. It always reminds me of that little dog in the movie Up. Squirrel? That's us. Did you hear Joel Osteen the other day? Squirrel. That's what I want to do when I hear people say that. Heard a great story the other day in whatever, on the radio, on TV. And my immediate reaction is, squirrel. That's what's happening to people. We get sidetracked by these clever little sayings and truths and stories. We need to come back to the real story and the real truth. The only one that truly leads us to the Father. And we know this. It's through Jesus Christ, and it's through Him only that we have peace with God. That we have a right relationship, a restored relationship with the Father. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. What a powerful thing that is. We're acceptable in His sight. We are His children. By the power of the Spirit, we have boldness with access to His throne of grace. We can approach Him and reveal to Him the very depths of the desires of our hearts. Pour out all of our sorrows and fears. And He hears them. And in His Word, He gives us comfort and assurance. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And that's true. That's true for the world around us. It's true for us as well. It's true by grace alone and by faith alone. Because it's through Christ alone. Indeed, He is the way and the truth and the life. And you have access to your Father in heaven through Him. Let's pray. Our Father, indeed, we are grateful for what You have done for us in Jesus Christ. That without Him, we have wrath and condemnation, Your just judgment of death upon us. But by Your grace and by the powerful working of Your Spirit within us, we have life and hope and peace. We don't deserve it. We've earned just the opposite. But because You are rich in mercy, because of the great love with which You loved us, You have reconciled us to ourselves. And now we have hope. And now we have peace. And now we look at Your Word and we rejoice at the things that we see there, its beauty and its wonder. The holiness that's reflected in Your good and perfect law. Help us to be not just hearers of the Word, but doers of it as well, as we seek to be like Christ. Indeed, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, that we are continually molded in His image. May that be true for each and every one of us. We ask it in Christ's name. We ask it in His power. By Your grace and by Your mercy and in the strength that the Spirit provides. Amen.